You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
And welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday, January 5th, 2024. You're listening to me, Grandpa Dan, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. We're wrapping up your work week. What better way to wrap it up than to tune in here for the Friday edition of the Daily Nationalist? As always, I start off reminding you, we have our Spin Longshank support links here on the description page for the Daily Nationalist. Write them a letter, send them an email. The email, that's what I use to converse with Sven. The turnaround is kind of slow because it has to be read through. And always remember, whether you send it in snail mail or whether you send it in email, you know, it's going to get read through. So, you know, use some common sense. But the email works really well. But if not, use the snail mail, but do drop him a note or a few bucks or whatever. We don't want him to think we have forgotten about him. We are doing Daily Nationalist on Friday. We're wrapping up this work week, and I'm doing something a little different. I'm really not using a particular news story. I'm just going to kind of lump some things together under a general topic. I think it'll work. It's basically it's kind of like the first half of my normal Parish of the Patriots show. I'm just doing it on today's show, which I think will be more fun for me. I don't know. So much, maybe not so much for y'all. More fun for me than sitting here and going through a news article. And there's quite a few things going on. I was thinking about what brought this about is I was looking. There are many, of course, many things going on the foreign policy front. And as always, I try to observe these things as a whole. And one of the things that I find so amazing as the U.S. empire continues to lose its credibility is this attempt at what I classify as foreign policy via technicality. We know how the domestic legal system works or really doesn't work. If you think the legal system, I mean, ideally, the legal system should be about justice, should be finding the truth of the matter and making sure that the guilty are punished and the innocent are set free. The original claim at the founding of the U.S. was, you know, I remember taking government class back in my day, back when I was in high school. And they told us that the idea of our system, legal system, was that it's better to let 10 guilty people, you know, inadvertently get set free than to send one innocent person to prison. And that was the idea behind the system. Well, how true that was, you know, back then, I couldn't say it was more true than it is now, because now the mask is off. Now the legal system is obviously it, justice and what is right has nothing to do with it. The legal system has been weaponized and used to go after those who speak the truth, and which, of course, naturally makes them the political opponents of leftism here in the U.S. That's really... which really isn't what I want to talk about, but I have to lay that down. Because we see this also reflected in foreign policy. The foreign policy coming out of Washington is becoming more and more convoluted because they're trying to use the same sort of legalese on the international community. They use the same kind of ridiculous technicality wordings. Like, oh, we see technically we didn't do that. Well, technically we did, but you see, that doesn't count because technically, as if, you know, as if somebody's going to sit here and say, well, you know, we would drop a nuclear bomb on you, but since technically you didn't do that, I guess we can't. It seems like a lot of it is by and large a bluff. And I do believe that the U.S. is running on an ever dwindling bluff of this perception of its incredible military might. And as that becomes more and more apparently false, I believe we'll see more and more people in the international community begin to call America's bluff. In fact, we're seeing that more and more. Dr. Johnson and I on our 2023 wrap-up roundtable show, which, by the way, if you haven't caught, you need to catch us. Great show. I really appreciate Dr. J sitting around taking the time to have a discussion like that. I really, really enjoyed it. You know, with the Houthis, and he's got a Daily National show on Thursday on the Houthis, but you know, they're kind of calling America's bluff, and I believe that we'll see more and more people call America's bluff. It's like I use that term, and you know, in a poker game, you've got somebody that bluffs. If they're a good bluffer, you know, but sitting there like, I think he's bluffing, but they looking at what's on the table and they're like, but if he's not bluffing and I lose my money, and then they fold their cards and the guy rakes it in. But you see their cards. We're seeing their cards more often, and their people are seeing that they're bluffing. And at some point in time, somebody's going to finally say, you know what? This guy has been bluffing 8 straight hands this guy has been bluffing. I think he's bluffing. This time somebody's going to call his bluff. And I think we're starting to see that now. I think we're going to see that more and more. And all a part of that is this attempt at being technical, you know, to use this legalese language. When Dr. Johnson and I were discussing these sorts of things, I was mentioning that some Washington official, I don't remember who it was, sometime back, they said, it doesn't matter, talking about Ukraine. They said, it doesn't matter what kind of success the Russians have militarily on the ground. What matters is we control the narrative. You see, technically what matters is what we say matters. Now, you can laugh at how silly that is, but as I said at the time, at some point in time, reality comes around and slaps you on the face. And I was reading, I read a lot of different, you know, news articles and such from a lot of different sources. And I'm really, you're seeing this kind of like storm starting to really form up, like a perfect storm. And at some point in time, if you have everyone at the table, see, one guy calls your bluff, you might lose something, you know, but you still got your chips here. But if you push all in and everybody at the table calls your bluff, you can be walking out of that place out in just your underwear. You walking out of there naked because they took everything, all the clothes off your back, everything you own. And I see some of this forming up. We're going to get into this a little bit as we go. Now, we had this terrorist bombing in Iran. The U.S. is like, we just want to make it clear. We don't have anything to do with that. And we all know that's bullshit. They at least know about it. They do this time and time again. Technically, you watch for their weasel words. Technically. I saw a statement some Washington official made the other day. And he began the statement, I believe he was talking about the assassination of this Hamas leader in a foreign country. Isn't it amazing that Israel, by the way, can bomb whoever in whatever sovereign foreign nation, and it never raises an eyebrow? You see, because technically they're special. Technically, you see, they're going after a terrorist. They used a drone and blew up this guy. And this Washington official began his statement with, well, I would say, you know, look for the weasel words always. I would say, not I am declaring as fact, not I say as a statement of truth, but I would say. What does that mean? Many of us are old enough to remember Bill Clinton's legal testimony, and he's sitting there haggling with the prosecutor over, well, that depends on what your definition of the word is. You says, I'm sorry, I missed a great opportunity to use my Bill Clinton voice. That depends on what your definition of what the word is. That's how this entire system functions. They try to get you hair split. They sit there and try to parse words down and claim that they mean something entirely different when we all know. Well, Israel hasn't admitted to it. They say Israel hasn't admitted to having anything to do with any of this. As if, well, the only way Israel could be guilty of it is if they come out and say they did it. And of course, even then we know the U.S. would say they're absolutely not guilty. The Ukrainian regime, which isn't headed by a Ukrainian, by the way, the Ukrainian regime is using U.S.-supplied cluster bombs to bomb civilian targets right in the middle of the city. in these territories that are now a part of Russia. Now, I remember when the U.S. gave them these cluster munitions, a lot of people raised their eyebrows and said, this is bad stuff to use. This goes all over, blows up civilians inadvertently. You know, like if you use these even on the battlefield, not all of them blow up. And apparently the U.S. ordinance is the worst in the world about not actually blowing up. Imagine that. No doubt it's the most expensive in the world. And later on, after the war is over, like regular people are walking around, they step on this stuff and it goes off and kills regular people. That's why it's really frowned upon to use this. But the U.S. at the time said, oh, no. Don't worry. We have assurances that the Ukrainians are only going to use this against Russians. It's going to be totally, totally fine. And now they're intentionally bombing urban centers with nothing there but civilian population. Now the U.S. says, what did they say? No, the EU, I think it was, doesn't matter. It's all the same thing. Now they say, Ukraine has a right to defend themselves. The whole thing they said earlier about they're not going to bomb, they're not going to use this on civilian targets. They're just going to use this on the battlefield, like they're going to drop it in Russian trenches or something. But they're unable to do that. Now they're just openly bombing civilian centers. But you see, that doesn't count either. Because you see, technically, those are the Russians are occupying in Ukraine. Ukraine has a right to defend themselves. I think I saw one statement along the lines of, well, it really doesn't matter what Ukraine does and how outlandish it is, because you see, they wouldn't be doing these outlandish things if the Russians hadn't attacked them in the first place. This falls perfectly in line with the Israeli policy in the Gaza Strip. I see these shills commenting on the internet, and they say all of this death and destruction, all these dead Palestinians that are being carpet bombed by Israel with U.S. bombs and money. You see, Hamas is guilty for that. You see, because Israel, you know, they're, if they hadn't done what they did on October 7th, then Israel wouldn't be forced to do this. And of course, when a player outside of the circle fights back, then it's terrorism. And it's, how can you do this? This is an outlandish, horrible, terroristic act. I saw a story that the U.S. and South Korea are doing this huge military exercises near the border with North Korea, practicing destroying North Korean targets. And then they say, but this isn't provocative because everybody knows we're not doing anything. I mean, we would never preemptively attack North Korea. The North Koreans are just unhinged for even thinking. Even though we're practicing attacking North Korea, it's the North Koreans who are unhinged and paranoid by thinking that we would attack them. Same excuse, same legalese, technicality language was used when NATO continued to expand toward Russia. Well, no, Russia doesn't have to worry. NATO is not an offensive organization, even though they've launched multiple offensive actions throughout the years. NATO is perfectly harmless. Russia doesn't have to worry. Who cares if NATO goes right up to their border? NATO is not going to be a threat. NATO is purely, purely a defensive. And of course, what they define as defensive is up to them. They'll come up with some form of word magic technicality to claim that, well, what we're doing is defensive action. Again, it's just as they did with the Ukrainians using cluster bombs, launching cluster bombs into the middle of urban centers in a town where people, you know, or just regular people walk around, no military targets. But you see, that is defensive action. And then they have the nerve to turn around and claim Russia is somehow being paranoid about NATO expanding towards their border. And yet they themselves show what liars they are while claiming to technically, the Ukrainians are defending themselves. They wouldn't have launched cluster bombs into the middle of an urban center if Russia hadn't launched their special military operation. Of course, we're supposed to ignore the fact that they were shelling the people in these regions before. They were doing this to these people before. We saw video, we saw pictures of atrocity the Ukrainian regime was mounting on these people before. But see, you're not supposed to remember that. And now we have this terrorist bombing in Iran, killing a bunch of people, set two bombs off, killing a bunch of people. And again, you see the immediate scramble for technicality. We don't know anything about this. It's like when you watch those videos, like when that show Cops used to be on, you know, and they get the black drug dealer and they chase him down, and like they video him and they chase the guy down and tackle him. And he's got the bag of drugs in one pocket and the gun used to commit the crime in the other pocket. And the guy's just like, I don't know nothing about that. These ain't even my pants. And people sit here, you see people sit there and watch that and snicker and laugh about, well, like, that's believable. And yet, the foreign policy of the West is no different. Well, we don't know nothing about that. Well, who else would have done it? It was either the U.S. directly or Israel, probably Israel. And, of course, we know that the U.S. is going to back up what Israel does no matter what. Gee, I wonder why that is. We dare not talk about it because that's liable to get you classified as an anti-Semite. If you ask, why is it that the U.S. is obviously the one being led around on a leash by whatever Israel decides to do? I saw a story that Israel supposedly withdrawing some of their troops from the Gaza Strip because they're losing. They're having way too many casualties and this is not working. But of course, they didn't say that in the story. They said, oh, they're withdrawing some of their troops and the U.S. is celebrating this. They said, Israel's finally listening to us and going with a more surgical approach. Imagine the U.S. sends all these weapons, all of this money to Israel. And then they're like, oh, we're so grateful. They're finally listening to us. Normally, under normal circumstances, the person writing the checks is the one that calls the shots. And yet, apparently, that is not the way it works. And we're never supposed to question why that is. Why is it that Israel basically dictates what Washington does instead of vice versa if Washington is the one writing the checks? This bombing in Iran, this seems to me, and in this case, the U.S. may have not been directly involved, but the thing is, they're going to be involved because they're led around on a leash by Israel. This comes across to me, and this is just me theorizing. I'm just a guy. I'm not a geopolitical expert like Dr. Johnson or anything. This is me giving you my opinion. This comes across to me like Israel is bound and determined to drag the U.S. into attacking Iran, into a war with Iran. This is what it comes across to me, and they're going to do everything they can because we know if Iran retaliates and begins attacking Israeli targets, we know the U.S. is going to be Johnny on the spot. We don't. There's no question. Look, there's no question that the U.S. will not do whatever it takes to defend our greatest ally in the Middle East. Let me tell you, our greatest ally, we're going to have to release the eagle because, oh my gosh, our greatest ally of democracy and values of who we are in the Middle East, Israel, is being attacked by these evil Muslims. We know. And I don't think the U.S. is wanting to get into that fight. I think the people in Washington, not because they're virtuous or something, but I think the people in Washington, every time they go to the Pentagon people are like, every time we run this, we're getting our, you know, on a simulation, we're getting our asses kicked. The only way we win is if we do the simulation like we gave the Ukrainians before their counteroffensive. And we told them, yeah, you're totally going to be able to win. You're totally going to be able to do this if you follow the program. See, we ran this simulation and even without any air support, fire support from air superiority, nothing, you're totally going to be able to charge these well-fortified multiple Russian defensive lines, and you're going to totally be able to break through. Go on, get out there, jump in the meat grinder. As you run a simulation like that, all of our simulations show we get our asses kicked, so we really ought not to go and do that. But you see, whether they want to do it or not is apparently irrelevant because Israel is bound and determined that, no, you will go in there and you're going to fight Iran for us. Because these people who technically, you know, set, you know, this foreign policy in the U.S., these government officials and whatnot, you know, because they're not very smart, they tend to think that they can run these things in like, you know, a vacuum, you know, like, well, this incident doesn't affect this incident. We can do this and it's not going to affect this other thing over there because technically that's a whole different deal. You see, technically, look, there is no international court. This is what's so silly to me is they're trying to apply some kind of legalese to international relations. Look, they talk about the international rules-based order, or they talk about the International Criminal Court, and a moron might think that that's an actual court system and you can drag another country and take them to law. It's not the way it works. that it doesn't exist. And yet they're trying to act like they can take what works for them here domestically in the legal system here. They can drag you into, look, they can drag you, me, anybody else into a court of law, and they can convict you of whatever they want. We are under a system now. They just make shit up. They can accuse. I'm at the point now. It's like they say, oh, they arrested this guy and, you know, he did whatever A, B, or C heinous thing. And my first reaction is, well, did he really? Or just the government just making it up? It was just handy. They just grab some random guy off the street and say he did it. You know, because we know the system is basically completely broken. But they act as though they can take this system, which is so corrupt domestically, and they're applying this internationally. Like, we can poke you in the face and say, well, technically we are not attacking you. You see, I was rubbing a little, you had a little dirt on you. That's what I was doing. But at some point in time, it's a bluff. And at some point in time, everybody at the table may decide it's a bluff. In fact, at some point in time, see, you've been sitting over here bluffing and conspiring with the dealer of cards, the guy dealing the cards. You've been conspiring with the dealer of cards. After a while, everyone else sitting at the table may get tired of that. And maybe they'll start conspiring together. And you think you can keep this over here in this little, isolated, because you're bluffing. You're bluffing that everybody's afraid of you. And you can sit here and mess with this one guy, and the others, they won't jump in because they're afraid of you. But it's a bluff. And at some point in time, someone may call you bluff. And there is no international judge that you can appeal to and say, Your Honor, no, they can't do this. Because you see, technically, if you look at this and twist it around and close one eye, we didn't technically do that. I mean, yes, we supplied the bombs and the intelligence and helped smuggle them over the border. But you see, it wasn't one of our guys that pushed the button on the detonator. So you see, technically, we didn't do anything. But see, the other party has a say-so in this. And if the other party says, that's bullshit, we think you did it, so we're going to fight you, then what are you going to do? You know, you're sitting there with a pair, you know, with a high card that's an eight and, you know, a really bad hand. And now your bluff has been called. And thing is, you ain't even supporting your own chips. You know, the dealer over there, which in this case, for this illustration is Israel, is sitting over there reaching over and shoving all of your chips all in. Because they want you to go fight Iran. And you're like, wait, I don't want to push my chips on. But it doesn't matter. The dealer shoves it all in for you and said, you're all in now. And you're sitting there looking at, all I got is an eight. I got a high card that's an eight. Everything else on my hand is crap. What you going to do? You know, really, I mean, how is this going to turn out? Things don't happen in a vacuum. See, all of these different things coming together. And at some point in time, I see a situation to where it's very feasible to me that everybody at the table is going to wind up calling this bluff. I have said this before. The U.S. has, I don't even know how many. I don't think anybody technically knows how many U.S. military installations are all over the world, because they're always expanding. They got bases in Syria, which nobody knows why. Bases in Iraq. Bases all over, well over 100 U.S. military installations. This is supposed to project power. This is supposed to project power. We have all of this military might. We got, you know, 150 or whatever it is, military installations all over the face of the planet. See, because everybody knows, no matter where you look, America's there. America's watching, and you better stay in line. Here comes a tipping point when your bluff gets called, and you know what all of those 150-plus installations are? Potential targets. Potential targets. Every one of them has a weakness. This is, look, I'm just speaking reality. This is how the world works. Those are all become, there comes a tipping point, and all of those installations, they're all potential targets. When you have set this technicality, you've done this technicality game and say, oh, well, it doesn't count when the people we support bomb civilian centers, because you see, they're actually defending themselves from the aggressors. Then what are you going to say when your soldiers that are in a foreign country take leave and go into town and are sitting around in a bar and someone blows up the bar and kills a bunch of them? then you what? You're going to try to play the legalese technicality game and say, oh, this is evil act of terrorism. At some point in time, that doesn't play anymore. Again, there is no international court that you control where you can actually play these games. At some point in time, the other side has a say-so, and they say, well, we don't care what you say. We're done playing your technicality. We didn't do this. We say you're responsible. It doesn't matter how much you deny it. We say you're responsible, and we're going to hold you responsible. Now, you've got the Ukraine quagmire continues to go on. That's a failure. They're looking to get out of that. It's obvious they're projecting that they're really wanting to wind that down and get out of that, because now they got Israel pushing them into a fight with Iran, which they seem hesitant to do. But again, we know who's calling the shots here. So that looks like it could very well happen. It's a real bad idea, technically, from their point. But again, the dealer shoving the chips in for you. So you've got the Ukraine thing still going on, being pushed into a fight with Iran. You're continuing to run military maneuvers against North Korea. They've kind of toned down here, seems like recently, toned down the whole Taiwan thing with China, because maybe some of them are starting to go, whew, things are getting kind of out of hand here. But like China's supposed to just say, oh, well, I guess they're going to leave us alone on that now. Look, obviously, I don't know what's going to happen. No, nobody does. But the odds, let's look at a scenario here. And you know, again, I'm not even saying this is likely to happen. But I will say the odds of this playing out more or less along the lines are not zero either. So it is in the realm of possibility. It seems to me, apparent to me, that Israel's doing everything they can to push the United States into a fight with Iran. Then that looks to be a thing. And if they're successful in doing so, and I think the odds are pretty good that they will be successful in doing so, because at the end of the day, we know who's holding the leash. Again, it's Israel setting this policy, not the U.S. So if you could have a situation where the U.S., under whatever circumstances, real, faked, false flagged, real, whatever the case may be, winding up into a direct confrontation, into a direct fight with Iran. What's Hezbollah going to do? And, you know, Hamas is still within the picture. Again, Israel isn't removing, you know, pulling some of their troops out of Gaza because, well, we're finished mopping up Hamas. It's because they're taking way too many casualties, and that didn't work out very well. So you wind up with Israel, with Hamas, Hezbollah, Iran, U.S. drug into a fight with Iran, which is going to extend to Yemen. Is Syria just going to sit around and let the U.S. continue to run bases in their country? And what about the Russians? You know, you could have all of this. I mean, you look at these things in a bigger picture and not isolated events. And again, I'm not saying this is even likely to happen, but the odds are not zero that it could play out this way. Hypothetically speaking, if you had the U.S. get drug into war with Iran, which I think that's a very likely thing that could happen, just because we know, you know, the tail is wagging the dog here on that front. You wind up with that. Okay, well, let's say North Korea doesn't even have to do anything. Let's say North Korea, in the middle of the U.S., is shipping what little resources they have left. They're already having to force the Japanese to give them ammunition and such, by the way, because they're out, because our system is so corrupt that it's more about stock prices for the military industrial complex than actually producing the arms. Now, you got the U.S. having to push all their interest, all their resources into this fight with Iran, which would be a hairy fight. And then all of a sudden, North Korea masses troops on their border, on the peninsula. Now, what are you going to do? You're going to divert some. Again, North Korea doesn't have to do anything. Just mass the. Just say it's a military exercise and mass troops on your border. I mean, why couldn't they? What have they got to report? No, they can't do that. They can't mass all their troops on the border with South Korea because they have to protect their border with China. They don't have to worry about anybody else. They can just mass everything they've got on the border with South Korea and never step over the line. But this is going to force the U.S. then to either send resources over to reassure the South Koreans and their commitment there, or they're going to show the world and their puppet state allies that actually their commitments aren't worth anything. They want to two things. They need to tell South Korea, well, you're on your own. You better. I don't think they're going to come over. Don't worry about that. Or they're going to try to hold up and keep their, because if they don't follow through, their puppet states are going to start peeling off. There's only so much they can go along with. So this could force the U.S. then to have to divert what precious resources they have to South Korea to help there. And let's say Russia decides to, in the middle of all of this, just go ahead and say, step on a NATO country. One of these little countries that's always talking hella shit, and they're like, the whole country is as big as my living room. And they go in and step on one of these little NATO countries. And then we find out really quick that actually Article 5 doesn't technically say that the U.S. now is going to go to war with Russia over some little tin pot country that nobody cares about. You see, we can lend our support in many other ways, and good luck. You're on your own. What if? The odds are, I'm not saying it's likely, but the odds are not zero that it can play out this way, because at some point in time, everybody at the table might just decide to start calling your bluff. And you can sit there and say, well, technically, look, legally, technically, legally, this isn't a courtroom. This is the real world. This is the real world. You can go on with this. I mean, this could, then you start having multiple groups, multiple countries, groups funded by multiple countries. They're looking at, these people have over 150 weak spots we can start poking on. What if in the middle of all of this going on, China just decides to blockade Taiwan altogether? What are you going to do? Your bluff has been called, and all the appeals to legality and technically, and you see, we really, no, we're not really doing what obviously we have been doing. You've got it all wrong. Who are you even appealing to? And again, I have to say, look, I'm not saying that this is likely to play out that way, but it is within the realm of possibility. And you see all of these different things, all this stuff is smoldering and it's building. You have to get this feeling. Y'all get this feeling, because I got this feeling like something's going to give. Something big is going to give. In the middle of all of this, we got to wrap up, but in the middle of all of this is a backdrop. And I've said this for a minute, and I've read articles that other people have said the same thing. In the midst of all of this, look, if the U.S., here in the U.S., if they tried to re-implement the draft, that will set the domestic thing off. That will light the blaze domestically. You will have essentially, well, you wouldn't say a civil war, but you would have civil unrest to the point to where the entire domestic situation, which is already very, very frayed, would, I believe, very likely completely come unraveled. I think that would be the straw that broke the camel's back domestically. And they start trying to institute the draft, then all bets are off. I think that may, and hypothetically, that could be one of the reasons they're letting all these people in the border. They might come around and tell all these people, look here, if you join our military for 4 years, then we'll grant you and your whole family U.S. citizenship in exchange for going and defending our greatest democracy ally in the world, Israel. It's a possibility. I don't know. I could go on because I start kicking these things around and kicking these thoughts around, and you know, it could be this, but maybe not. But at the end of the day, all of the appeals to legalese and technicalities and all of that, at some point in time, it's going to run into reality. At some point in time, everybody else at the table they have a say in it too. No matter what you think, no matter how hard no matter how successfully you have bluffed in the past, no matter how clever you think you are, because you've got a deal with, you know, you've cut a deal with the dealer who's handing out the cards. At the end of the day, the other players may decide to work together. and they may decide to call your bluff. We're going to wrap up on that note. I hope you enjoy your weekend. I plan to be back Monday. Get your week started off with another installment of the Daily Nationalist. Hope you'll get a chance to check out all our great program. We have something new up every day, Monday through Friday here. So I hope you'll get a chance to check that out. Again, hope you enjoy your weekend. Keep the faith, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.